Hello everyone and welcome back to Season 2, Episode 23 of the Donkey's Garage. This was the Grand Prix at Zandvoort in the Netherlands. Overall, a very difficult race, a very chaotic race. Also, qualifying was incredibly difficult to organize, to really prepare for it. This was due to the rainy, to the stormy conditions in which they had to both qualify and race, all the drivers. This track is located next to the sea, which makes it really susceptible to weather conditions, quite windy also. And so what appeared to be list at the start of the race, some clear skies. At the same time, it was quite cloudy. You could see the rain from in the horizon. So it's I think quite difficult to tell what the intensity of the rain and how was it going to affect the overall race. And that is when I think the interesting races happen, and that's exactly what happened. So to start the weekend rather on a orderly manner. Zandvoort was the first Grand Prix after the summer break, which meant that after a month with, of course, the break that the factories have to mandatorily observe, which means that they are not allowed to be working, they have to take some rest and so on. But nevertheless, all the teams have tried to bring some updates, including Aston Martin, including Red Bull, including Mercedes, including McLaren, of course, Ferrari, all of them. They tried to bring new stuff in order to really give it a push and try to start on a positive note towards the end of the year and try to overtake or protect against your competitors should they have brought updates that would place them ahead of you. So, of course, there was some candidates that needed these urgently, and I'm thinking of Ferrari, I'm thinking of Aston Martin. I am leaving on the side Red Bull, because I mean they are in such a strong position at the moment that of course they're bringing updates because it's part of the game, but they are substantially ahead. They are not so desperately in need of updates in order to keep up with the development race as all the teams were, such as Aston Martin and Ferrari. All the teams as Mercedes and McLaren, they finished the first stint of the season on a really good note. They brought some really good updates during the last races, especially at Silverstone in Hungary. In Spa, they brought some updates that did work, and that is exactly what they wanted to continue, that positive trend upwards to develop the car, making it work even better, extracting more performance. So there was this game that was very, very obvious, very clear. And so the start of the weekend, I would imagine that all the teams with the updates, Aston Martin being the one that brought more updates, would want some, I would say, some ideal conditions to test those new parts, those aero packages that they brought, in order to really assess whether they're working, whether they're really performing the way they expected it, or the way the wind tunnel, how the numbers, the figures, the performance was seen in the wind tunnel period, to see if it really corresponds to reality. This was not the case, because I mean it was so rainy, it was tricky, very tricky conditions, between dry conditions and slippery, and then really a strong rain. So it was really changing. In this really makes your testing session very difficult to be carried out. Nevertheless, what we could see throughout the weekends was that some teams had really materialized on their capital, on their opportunity, and I'm thinking especially of Aston Martin. They brought some aero packages, namely an important package that regards the underfloor of the car, and also some bits here and there, front wings, some of the inlets here and there on the engine cover, and so on, and some on the rear wing also. brake air intakes located in the rear brakes and so on. So all these through the weekend, it seemed that it was working, was performing better. It seemed that they had some better pace. Ferrari had quite the opposite experience because they brought in a specific package to Zandvoort with a very high downforce rear wing, and they had to drop it because it was actually not working. This is something that is not ideal. It's definitely something that puts pressure on the team because you're bringing something that has been approved on the first stage on the computer simulation. Then you put it on the wind tunnel essentially, and then you make it. You spend, of course, time. You spend money. You spend resources, which then are counted towards this budget that you are limited, the budget cup, of course. And then you find at the track that it doesn't actually work, and then you have to really go back to square one and really find where the issue was, or if the design overall was wrong altogether, whether there was something that was misread or misinterpreted. So Ferrari had the negative experience as opposed to Aston Martin, who brought these parts, and I think they were very satisfied with the result. Other teams like McLaren and Mercedes, they brought some smaller updates. I think they did not work as good as they would have wanted. At least they would have expected to give them a bit of more push. And I say that with a pinch of salt because Lando Norris actually still qualified second, which is a very good result. But during the race, they just seemed to be a bit hanging here and there. They just didn't quite find the pace, especially during these rainy conditions. And I think this is probably due to this very unique characteristics of the track, which is a very high downforce track, very, very, very demanding on the curves with some corners that are really difficult to take, that you need to trust the car that you're throwing it there and you've got maximum grip, which was something that was actually alluded by Alonso when he said, I was in such tune with the car, I was trusting the car, and I knew that I could really drive it to the maximum and keep it in on track. So a quick reminder, the qualifying was Max first, Lando, George, Alex, which is a really, really impressive result, all full of young talents. Four drivers that have basically, particularly three of them, Lando, George and Alex, have practically grown together. So really good to see these young lads all there together. And then you've got Alonso in fifth position, Carlos in sixth, Sergio in seventh, Oscar in eighth, followed by Charles, Logan and Lance Stroll qualifying P11, which is still, I think, under qualifying Lance Stroll with an Aston Martin. I think he had a bit more pace to go fight for a P5, P6 to be there contending with Alonso. Then the results during the race, after a difficult race, which I will comment right after mentioning the results, is Max Verstappen winning the race. Incredible. I mean, no cracks there. Alonso second, followed by Gasly, Sergio in fourth, Carlos in fifth, Hamilton in sixth, Lando in seventh, followed by Alex in eighth, Oscar, Piastri in ninth, Ocon in tenth, Stroll 11th, and Nico Hülkenberg in 12th. And then the very disappointing result was George Russell finishing dead last, P17. Also, Charles Leclerc had to retire in lap 41 after a collision with Oscar Piastri resulted in damage in his car, suffering from at least around 60% of loss of downforce. So now on to the race. The start was, I think, getting quite difficult by the moment. And that is essentially because they were starting on softs, but the clouds were coming faster than anticipated, I would imagine. And so by the time they were actually about to press on the accelerator for the start of the race, lights out, It started raining. Raining substantially, to the point that by the first turn, it was more or less very, very wet, or at least substantially wet. So drivers had, I would imagine, planned a ordinary start where you just go full out and really try to hold it together, knowing that Zandvoort is known for its difficult turns, and turn one is actually one that invites or is really spices the race up, because there tends to be crashes at the start because it's almost 180. It's a hairpin, and you're just there arriving. The exit is quite narrow, then you have to place yourself rather well in order to take turn three. So not ideal, not ideal, certainly not an ideal set of conditions. So you've got there Max Verstappen, who's I mean, just perfect, no cracks whatsoever. It takes a perfect lead to the race, followed by Lando, of course, with George Russell and Alex. But the thing is, they just seem to have been taken by surprise by the slippery conditions, and they played it safe. All of them played it rather safe, knowing, I mean, they obviously were able to see that it was getting very, very difficult in those circumstances. So they are playing, all of them are playing rather conservative, except one driver, Fernando Alonso, who decides that if turn four everyone is going to go on the outside, which is the very banked curve, more or less 18 degrees, he's going to go on the inside, which you would think he's nuts for doing that, because that curve with this banked slope, you're ideally taking on the outside, you almost place half of the car on the outside, on the outer limit, and then you kind of chop it, you cross through to the turn, and then exit on the curve on the right hand side, and then follow the kind of zigzag towards the next few corners. But Alonso decided to play a risky game and place the car on the inside of the curve, where you are literally at the bottom of this bank curve. By doing so, he essentially overtook George Russell and Alex Albon on one go. Of course, he had already got past, well, actually, not exactly quite got past. On the first turn, he was side by side with Carlos, who was trying to push him to overtake him. Alonso was rather strong, with strong defense there, but he essentially was fighting the car behind. But by the time he arrives to the bank curve, he actually leaves Carlos behind, because Carlos is not going to follow that racing line, and Alonso goes dipping, goes on that left turn on the banked curve, and goes on the inside of Alex, George, and then finds himself right away P3. P3, which is already incredible. I mean, incredible result. And then the craziest part starts. Everything is very, very slippery. All the drivers are struggling as they're coming already past turn four to hold it together. Max is already flying. Lando is second, but Alonso is quick on the accelerator, gets out of that bank curve, and is P3, following Lando Norris quite closely. And then just the intensity of the rain increases. And so you can see that all the drivers are struggling like crazy to hold the car. And Lando Norris is especially struggling more than the rest. I mean, George and Alex, the three of them are actually, Lando, George and Axel are very struggling very much, but I mean, you can see the difference in speed between Alonso and Lando Norris, because he catches him in a matter of a second, and by lap one he had already overtaken Lando. With one aspect that is going to come and really cause mayhem, which is that rain intensifies and forces drivers really to make a choice whether or not to switch for intermediates. Max and Alonso, 1 and 2, they stay on out and they try to keep the slicks for a bit longer, see what happens. Max is there, Alonso is there, they're both of them on slicks on a very, very slippery and a very, very, very rainy track right now. With Lando Norris, George and Alex, they're basically just like skating on ice. With Carlos also struggling, Sergio also struggling, Oscar struggling. And then Sergio comes right away on lap 2. He goes for the intermediates, which, I mean, makes sense. He sees that there's no way he can possibly survive that. And, I mean, then all the drivers start to do it. Lando Norris, George, with one exception, is Alex Albon, who will not change to intermediate tires at all during this first part of the race. He just stays out on that slick, soft compound, which is crazy because, I mean, it was crazy wet and he still got it together. He didn't crash, which, I mean, chapeau to him. Max and Alonso, they're a bit more conservative and they haul for a few laps and then on lap 3, lap 4, they decide to sort for intermediates, which makes a lot of sense. At the back is Carlos, at the back is Oscar, at the back is Charles, Logan and Lance Stroll. During the time Max and Alonso actually take the decision to come in and switch for intermediates, Sergio is essentially leading the race now on a set of intermediates. He looks quite comfortable on that set of intermediates. He's leading the race. Max is following him at around 5 seconds, and then comes Alonso in P3, so quite a good scenario overall for Alonso. The rest, Lando Norris and George, they're just struggling. I mean, they're just all over the place. They don't seem to be finding that performance. They took too long to make the decision to switch. They didn't take too long, actually, to switch for those intermediates, but they're just not finding the pace, unfortunately for them. And George Russell somehow sees his possibilities go down the drain as he's not really somehow on the lead, on the leading pack anymore. At the back, continues a bit of chaos. Lance Stroll, he was start 11. He goes, he drops a few positions already at the start, first turn one. He was already struggling, fighting with the people around him. He's P15, then he pitted for intermediates also. And it's just a very, very difficult part of the race to follow with these drivers having to adapt to wet conditions. But what we see is that the sunshine is actually coming quite quickly. It's actually approaching with the rain really dissipating at the same time. And so you've got these conditions where sunshine is starting to cast upon the racetrack. There's a racing line that started to get dry. And so the question is, are they going to be able to switch those soft tires back again? In the meantime, one driver loses and makes a mistake, which is I'm simply going to keep it as one driver commits a mistake and makes a mistake, and that is Sargeant. He makes a mistake and then essentially places the Williams against the wall. He takes this curb, I think it must be 15, 4th, not the 11th or the 12th turn, more or less. He takes this curb, which is right after this very curvy section, after 8, 9. He takes the curb a bit too aggressively, and according to the raid at least, he breaks the suspension of the steering, something like that, and goes straight against the wall. Which, yeah, I mean, causes a safety car, which makes sense. In a safety car, the car is placed in a position which is not ideal. The crane has to intervene and so on, so it makes sense. So all the cars are actually packed, and then you've got procedure that starts. We all know it, the safety car. Max, Sergio, Max, Alonso, you've got the rest of the drivers. They're there all a bit trying to follow, adapt. The safety car really puts the pack together, so it's a new opportunity to to go for it. And then you've got this dry line that has really become apparent, and this moment to switch to a set of dry compound. A dry compound for many will be soft, with one exception for George Russell, who decides to go to the end of the race with a set of hards. It makes sense if you think it's not going to rain anymore, but unfortunately the race was not really candid with him, and it did actually rain, so he was actually taking the long route, I would say, to accepting losing some pace during this first stint in order to be able to just do one set of tires instead of having to pit twice. But it didn't work, because at the end of the race it started raining very, very heavily, just with 10, 15 laps to go. So Perez was, I would say, sacrificed once again by the team. They played an undercut on him when it was time to switch to softs, from intermediates to softs. Max did it first. Max won the undercut. And as he came out during this second part of the race, where it was a dry track, he found that Max was leading the race, then was him, and then was Alonso. Alonso was following them closely. I think he didn't have really pace enough to go hunt Perez. He did show that very specific in this first part of the race, second part of the race, some interest in hunting Perez. He was more or less 3-4 seconds away from Perez, keeping the pressure, but just distant enough not to overheat your tires. The fight behind with Carlos, he was trying to come back from behind. He was actually doing an incredible race. Carlos, very, very good, very solid. Lando and Alex, they fell to the back. Of course, Alex didn't swap tires, so he during the rainy conditions, he lost a lot of time. So they were coming ninth. Lando actually came out on the pits from that softer compound after the intermediates. He was 14. And then he started just slowly gaining back positions. So did Alex. So did George at the beginning. So did Carlos. So did Oscar. And so would have Charles, had he not had an accident with Oscar Piastri, which caused damage to the Ferrari, and essentially, yeah, putting him at a disadvantage. And at the end of the day, he had a very damaged car, losing about 60% of the downforce. He had no chance whatsoever. He was just falling behind lap by lap. He was being overtaken by every single car on track, and by lap 41 they decided to retire the car, which I think was much overdue. They should have saved that engine far more, and after 10-15 laps, seeing that he was going nowhere, just accept the defeat and really save the engine for a future notice. Lance Stroll, nothing to be said there. I think quite a mediocre race. He didn't show any pace whatsoever. Unfortunately, because as I said, the car was really strong. One other thing I would like to say with Charles was regarding qualifying. On Saturday, he was looking like he was trying to get to something. The Ferrari was really difficult to drive. I think Carlos and Leclerc, they both had a really difficult task during the weekend to really manage a car that was not suited for those conditions, knowing especially this factor that they didn't have the rear wing they desired in order to really adapt to these the track specifications. But Charles again lost it. I think it was turn 10. He made a mistake. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but as he was turning on a right-hand side turn, he went straight and crashed against the wall, causing a red flag during qualifying. It was not his best weekend. You could see that he was uncomfortable. And even during the race, during the first part, I mean, it was a very short leaf race in ideal conditions for him. But you could see that he was not feeling very comfortable in the car. And so I think it's something that needs to be reiterated, is that in spite of all that is being said, Ferrari is actually being led by Carlos Sainz, who, in spite of his very conservative driving and his, I would say, sometimes lack of a spectacular driving, he's the driver that brings points, that brings results on a constant basis. And I think at the end of the day, he's doing the bulk of the job, of the effort at Ferrari. And so I'm not sure the Italian press, and everyone for that matter, we are being very honest with Carlos when we say that he's not outperforming expectations. I mean, he's driving up against a driver that he's considered to be one of the best drivers on the grid, Charles Leclerc, who is highly regarded, who is highly praised. And at the end of the day, Charles Leclerc hasn't done much for the last season and a half. I'm finding quite difficult to justify Charles being the first driver when Carlos is really the driver that is performing better. So something I want to drop there, and it's something that I think deserves to be really discussed in more depth. I mean, Carlos Sainz has really been the constant garner, if one can say so, in the Ferrari squadra. So I would say very strong race for him. I mean, he had a very difficult race, very, very difficult. And when I mean difficult, I mean you could see that he was not comfortable with the car, but he still made it work. He still made it through the field to arrive at the end of the race, P5, holding back Hamilton and Lando Norris, who were coming really, really hot on him. And so those last laps with the shower that was falling upon them, he held it together with a car that was, I mean, admittedly way faster on the straight because of the rear wing they were using, namely that they were using a medium downforce rear wing as opposed to high downforce rear wing. But I mean, containing Hamilton with a car that looked not ideal but sufficiently solid, Lando Norris, Alex Albon, even Oscar Piastri back there, I mean, praise to him. During the race, as I say, this toward the end of the race, we had very during the second part of the race, during the drives part of the race, I would say the race was becoming a bit dull, because you essentially could see where the end of the race was going to be should the conditions have been maintained. But as soon as rain starts dropping around 12 laps to the end, you've got, I think, one of the best races we have had in the last few 20 races I can think of, like 10, 15 races I can think of. Because you had a very difficult start, you have a rather average middle part with dry conditions, drivers trying to find their pace, finding a bit the momentum, starting to save on tires, save a bit on fuel here and there, and they're being more conservative. And then the last 12 laps of the race is where kind of chaos comes again and rains upon this track and decides to really throw everything out of the window and say, okay, it's going to be literally like a river, a stream of water running through this racetrack. And first crash is the Chinese driver Zhou, who crashes the Alfa Romeo in turn one, goes straight. The same happens to Perez, the same happens to Hamilton. I mean, there's very difficult conditions, and at that moment all the drivers, they're on softs, they have to go back on intermediates, and then some drivers actually go on full wets. This was actually done first by Ocon, who goes on full wets right away. And as he comes out of the pits, he says on the radio, "I think this is the worst decision ever made. It's not, the conditions are not for wet conditions, for full wet conditions." And it turned out they were right. It's just that it took a few laps to get to those full wet conditions. the rest of them, they really had to improvise in order to survive. And one driver who failed to improvise was Perez, who unfortunately made a mistake, crashed on turn one, didn't cause any major damage, and was able to get back on the track. And as he was coming back on the pits to fit those set of full wets, he found himself just as he was exiting the pit lane, the red flag was then waved, and then he could have wasted essentially one pit stop. Luckily for him, I guess on a technicality, the red flag must have been waved just a few seconds before he actually entered the pit lane, because they considered him to be they maintained his third position when the red flag was waved. So on the restart of the race, it was Max, Alonso and Perez behind. We followed by Pierre Gasly, and then Carlos Sainz, and then Hamilton. Unfortunately for Perez, I think it's really when everything goes against you, there must be some sort of God that sometimes takes the, I don't know, goes against you, or just you're not on his good side. Everything goes against you. So Perez then was sanctioned with a 5-second penalty for speeding on the pit lane. So eventually he finished P4, giving Gasly his podium, which, I mean, is still very well deserved. Gasly did an incredible race overall. Both Alpines actually did a really, really good race. They showed good performance overall, with Gasly outpacing his teammates. I mean, overall, really good. Nothing to be said there. What else can we say? Hamilton, during the qualifying on Saturday, he didn't really find the pace, so he was uncomfortable. He qualified P13, whereas his teammate George actually qualified P3. I bet that was not something he enjoyed watching. The rest, I think, Stroll, pretty average race, I would say even bad, knowing the sort of performance they really had under the belt. Finished P11. For the rest, there's not much else I have to say. Just a few honorable mentions, with Tsunoda and Liam Lawson, who, on the one hand, Tsunoda did an incredible race overall. I mean, really holding it together, being really constant, especially during the driest part of the race. He was actually holding back Hamilton and Lando Norris. Very, very good for him. I mean, really good overall. And as at the towards the end of the dry stint, as the race was around lap 50-60, he was then overtaken eventually by Hamilton. And then when he was going to be overtaken by George, he had a bit of a collision with him. It was a bit muscly, I have to say, by George, a bit too much perhaps, you know, to my taste. He really forced himself on the inside, and they made collision. And then Tsunoda suffered from a tire degradation he could not keep up with, and essentially lost all the very strenuous efforts he made during this dry stint. He lost it just towards the end on a few laps. Quite unfortunate. He finished P16, I believe, P15. Quite sad to see that, because, I mean, he definitely did a race that would deserve points. And his teammate Liam Lawson, who was substituting, who was filling in for Daniel Ricciardo, who during the free practice had an accident and broke his wrist. The accident was specifically that in order to avoid Piastri at this bank curve, he went against the wall, and instead of releasing the steering, he held to the steering and then broke the wrist. This is one of the first lessons you learn in go-karting. If you, when you have an accident, always release the steering in order that when you crash, your wrists don't crush one another and you break them. He explained that he had to make a decision in just a matters of a millisecond between either crashing on Piastri or going against the wall. The decision was to go against the wall, but the result was breaking the wrists. So, very honorable mention, as I was saying, to Liam Lawson, who did an incredible race on a set of conditions that were almost close to impossible, especially for a driver who is just filling in, no prior experience with the car, no prior experience definitely with his first time in Formula One. So he was able to cope with all the conditions, rainy, wet, slippery, with all the restarts, with the red flag, everything, and then finish actually P13. So, I mean, chapeau to him, speaks highly of him, and I'm sure we will see him back at Monza, which is in just, I would say, 2 weeks' time. No, this week, right away. It's right away. So this week on the 3rd, it's Monza. So with that note, just one last mention to regarding McLaren, who've utterly and surprisingly failed the strategy, both with Lando Norris and Oscar. They both had quite an unfortunate race. I mean, Lando was definitely aiming for a podium and then had to settle for a mediocre result. P7, definitely not what he wanted, starting P2. And Oscar did a race that was, I think, quite average. He did not shine here or there particularly. And P9, I think, is against underperforming, but yeah, the strategy was not really on their side. They were a bit too slow to call the edge of the pit stops, to rid the race, to really see what was going on. So, I mean, sometimes the McLaren has made really good calls, like in Silverstone. Some other times, I guess it's just part of the game. You make a lesser good calls. On that note, I would like to stress how happy Alonso's P2 made me. I was so close to dream for a P1, very, very close. I just hoped he had that chance to fight neck to neck with Verstappen. The conditions were horrible, and I know that his shark mentality wouldn't take nothing but victory as an answer. After the red flag, he did ask the team for permission to go hunt Verstappen and try to make a pass for P1. He did try only one, I think, once, and not even, it was not even a proper try. It was just a kind of intimidation on Verstappen, who replied with his classic, I mean, his unwavering, unshaking stubbornness. I mean, security, I mean, you can say confidence, not security, confidence in his driving, and did not make a mistake, did not wave. So really, really, I think a really interesting, one of the best races I've seen so far, as I say, incredibly. I was very excited. I was shouting. I was jumping all over the place. Very excited to see the whole thing overall. And I think it's a recurring note that we tend to say that the best races are those in which things happen, and usually the thing that happens, this element that shakes things up, is rain. So I think it's a very positive note that we have rainy races. More than ever, I think they need to take this into consideration, really find a way to race under very wet conditions, even in solve the spraying issue. But we need drivers to race under rainy conditions when it's wet, because I mean it's part of driving, and you can see the drivers that shine most when it's really difficult to drive around a racetrack. You can see Alonso reading the race, being just magnificent, being magic, reading, going for a different race line than any other driver. Max Verstappen, solid self-confidence, I mean just unwaveringly confident. You can see it. I mean, all these is just, I mean, I think it's something to take into consideration. So on that note, I think I don't wish to say anything else. So as always, thank you very much for listening. I wish you a very pleasant day, and I will be back later this week for Monza. A race which is the temple of speed, definitely home to the Tifosi, home to Ferrari, which is going to be an emotional race for them. I've seen the new race suits they will be wearing, a special tribute to their home track. So quite a special track for Ferrari, quite a special track I would say for many other drivers. Winning there, I think, has also one of these connotations of being a classical, this the temple of speed. It's the maiden victory for Vettel with Toro Rosso. Crazy things have happened, such as Gasly's victory back in 2019, and Carlos being second. I think it tends to hold some good races. So looking forward to that, and I'm very excited for that. As always, please don't forget to share, don't forget to comment, don't forget to really spread the word. And as always, enjoy Formula One. Thank you very much.